Kevin's going to pick the QB. You ready for Kirk Cousins?
You think that solidifies it?
All I'm doing is...
I think most people, if you were to ask most fans, hey, if Kevin Stefanski got to pick his next quarterback, who do you think would be number one?
They'd say Kirk.
I think he probably would be, right?
They'd say Kirk to start, and you got to draft a kid. You got to draft a kid somewhere. Maybe that takes us... If it's Kevin, then maybe we're farting into the wind about these top two QBs. Maybe they will trade down. If what Jason's saying and Kevin is going to be instrumental in picking the next quarterback, I said this whole time that I do think that if you're looking at the two quarterbacks, Shador Sanders does fit more of what Kevin Stefanski would want to do. I say fits more. It's not a perfect fit. But if you look at Kirk Cousins, mid to late 30s, drop back, can go under center, bootleg, play action. It's Kirk Cousins. It's leftover pot roast time, guys. All we're waiting on is for them to make some sort of either a deal to get rid of him or a deal for... Because you're not going to just take on that salary, obviously. I don't think you can. Who the hell knows? Anytime anything seems to be prohibited because of the cap, we seem to find a way out of this.
So
speaking of money, we're going to get to something guaranteed coming up here momentarily. But
Kirk
go ahead.
Cousins. How confident would you be that Kirk Cousins would save not only his job, but Andrew Berry's job?
20%, 25%. I'll give you a quarter. I'll give you a quarter.
I'm not sure, and you're going to have to trade for him at this moment, right?
Right now, yes.
I people think that there's a big bluff to be called here.
I think it's a bluff.
He's also going to be 37 when the season starts.
It's just a year younger than me.
Well, hell, let's have you be quarterback then.
I still got some tread on the tires.
You waddle out there and be quarterback.
I might have just as good a chance as Kirk Cousins would for some people right now.
After watching Kirk Cousins the last 6 weeks of the football season, I'd much rather see you do it. And I really liked Kirk Cousins at one point.
So
I like pot roast.
From what Jason just said, break out the pot roast to thaw. And we're going to draft somebody. And I have to imagine it's not going to be one of the two top quarterbacks. Am I wrong? Who's the closest one to a Stefanski skill set in this draft? Oh, it's going to be Jackson Dart. It's going to be Jackson Dart later on.
I have heard people say Jackson Dart.
All you Jackson Dart people, you're going to get what you want.
Where would he get drafted?
If it's Kevin, you're going to get what
you
want. That
wouldn't be the first pick of the second round, would it be?
At 33? Wow,
They couldn't even wait. That'd be too big of a gamble. They'd have to trade up into the first round.
Do you feel better or Do you feel better or worse if Kevin is more involved there? I can't believe it took us 5 years to get to this level of power.
Honestly, Kenny, I feel like he always should have been involved, and maybe he was. We'll never know officially on this until these guys are out of a job. We will never, and then I don't even know if we'll know, because Kevin Stefanski will get hired somewhere else to be an OC for a year, or maybe he takes a year off football and then figures it out. But I don't think we're going to find out anything about this. These guys are young. They want to work in the NFL. They don't want to spill the beans.
216-474-0092. Yeah, I understand that. But like when I hear that from Jason, what is your level of confidence? You didn't give me a percentage. What's your percentage
that he's going to be able to
get us out of this mess? Yeah. Or at least start the process of getting us out of this
mess.
Coming
off another injury, and then that he'd have to stay healthy, so we would need him the whole year, which would seem to be a tall task at this stage. For how old is Kirk Cousins going to be
37.
This year? He's going to be 37 years old. You said 20%?
37. What?
I might go a little higher, because I do think if Kirk Cousins just stays healthy, they can win in the neighborhood of 8 games. And I think eight games would save their
job. That keeps his job. Because I fought with you a little bit about the Steelers thing. Like, we argued whether or not, I'm not trying to get too off track here, but it's like, give me a start where I'm at least close to the playoffs, and then I can build from there. I don't like to go from the bottom. The bottom, it's just so much. And if you take a young guy, then it's like, well, you got to put him with a bad team. It's just a bad situation. And we've been there millions of times, and it's never worked, and I don't know why we always want to keep going back to it, but whatever. If I get back, if you kept him after 3-14, you're not going to keep him after they go 8-9? That's a 5-win difference. So Kirk Cousins is going to come in here, and you're going to try to take care of him, and he would try to take care of the football, so you're trying to eliminate turnovers. I imagine, don't quote me on it, but I imagine that the false starts, the illegal shifts, illegal motions, the offensive offsides. Maybe that would be corrected because at least you know what you're doing at that point, because guys didn't know what they were doing. I mean, you're getting illegal motions and stuff in week 15. I mean, what the hell are you doing? Unless you got tight ends that are coming in off the practice squad because you have so many injuries, then maybe that's a little bit more understandable. But that's a great big fat excuse. You kind of got to know what you're doing. And if you don't, that means you don't have an identity, which means you either don't have the type of horses that you need or not well coached. Well, I think it was the same thing with both the Browns situation last year. So you're going to bring Kirk Cousins to start off this year. You'll probably draft a kid who's more in the Kevin Stefanski realm. Wouldn't Jackson Dart make a lot of sense for people in the Kevin Stefanski realm? Get ready for it. Done. Well, you don't have to worry about the draft anymore. 216-474-0092.
Well, let's move on to other stuff
then. Yeah. Cavs are doing well. We'll get to them coming up here in a bit. Let me get to John and Wadsworth first. You're first up on the Fan. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
Not terrible, my friend. Go right on ahead.
I mean, this whole Stefanski finally getting power thing, isn't this kind of like the logical next, if not last step? I mean, they haven't given him power. It's gone south, you know, more than it's gone north. And, you know, at this point, he's probably like, look, you made me fire Alex Van Pelt. You know, the offense was humming, even with Flacco. You know, my system has proven to work. You took it away from me. Let me run the show now. Let me do it my way. And they're probably like, look, yeah,
because... Well, you're right. You're right. John, stay with me. Because, like, I said a couple of weeks to Lima, this was before Christmas, like, I hope this is Kevin Stefanski's opportunity to consolidate power. You remember that tone? I think that Keith posted it up online. Like, this is his chance to consolidate it. I don't like that it had to take five seasons to get there. Why did it take five seasons to get there? If he's the one that we can trust, why did we have to take that long? If they knew in the summertime, if they met, and again, the story, which is ridiculous, that Deshaun Watson met with him and saw the offense and just had to be a part of it. Oh, I think he saw the money and had to go ahead and get part of that, which, again, I'm not going to blame the guy for taking a bunch of money. But my God, this is a non-fit. From the very beginning, it's a non-fit. And because of the last five seasons, now I have to blame Kevin Stefanski for things that he may have a viable excuse that he wasn't responsible for as the head coach of an NFL football team. I mean, that's asinine.
Yeah,
no,
and I completely agree with that. You know, and in Jason's article where he says, you know, that he wasn't calling out Deshaun, and Phil, that's a problem. You know, that, I mean, if I'm veteran players, I'm going, this guy's got 230 million reasons why we should be calling him out, you know. But, you know, in terms of why it's taken this long for Stefanski to have this power, I mean, we know that, you know, Haslam, he's getting better, but he's been a meddlesome owner. You know, he hasn't been one of those completely hands-off, you know, Rooney kind of guys where he's like, yeah, I'll trust my football people to do things. So he's meddling in things, and I think now it's finally like, you know, Stefanski probably behind the scenes went, look, damn it, let me do it my way, and I'll show you that I can make this work. And they're finally like, all right, well, nothing else has worked. What the hell? So,
how can they say what the hell to a guy that they've employed to be the head coach of the football team? John, thank you very much for the call. Like that whole thing bothers me. Now you're just going to give him. Now you're just going to give him power. I mean, we've seen in the league, head coaches have had more and more power. There was a time where, yeah, the general managers made the decision. It was just your job to go out there and do it. Now we've looked around the league. There's a lot of head coaches who are in a lot of ways de facto general manager of their football teams. They just have another guy who is helping them make the decisions and bringing in players.
But you got to remember, for any of the people that are annoyed that we'd even be talking about Stefanski getting more power after 3-14, who is supposed to get more power? And if you're saying nobody's supposed to get more power, then are you supporting all along just running it back with this coach, with this GM, with this setup? Then okay, that's fine, but that's not like the accountability I think some people are looking for.
I'm surprised it took 5 years, and it feels like there's a tug and pull of ideas there instead of trying to go down a streamline. They call each other thought partners, but when I'm hearing that from Jason, it seems that we're leapfrogging from one person having more power and more say-so than to the other. So we're not learning anything over the last five seasons. I don't like that. That doesn't make me feel confident or comfortable in their situation. And now we're possibly going to bring in a kid later on in the draft, because this just tells me that more than likely they may, which is maybe what everybody wants, they may trade down. They may trade down and just take Jackson Dart and bring in Kirk Cousins and off we go. But my God, it doesn't make me feel better going, okay, well, what are we going to do in week 3 if this isn't working out? Then who gets the power? Then who are we listening to? Are we just jumping around? Anthony Lima yesterday. Stop eating the peanut brittle. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 8:20. Our buddy Chris Kizer, Cavs Chief Marketing Officer, going to join us around 7:45 this morning. We'll talk Cavs with him and what's going on over at the Fieldhouse. And later on this show, Adam Silver is planning on some changes, guys. We're going to have to win this NBA championship as soon as possible. He already has said that Joe Dumars is looking at some things. We got to get going right now. More on that coming up a little bit later on. So we talked to Jason Lloyd. Hear that interview, 92.3thefan.com. You brought this up yesterday. Why not just give him a guaranteed contract? And I went, holy testicle Tuesday. Threw me off, Tone.
I could not believe.
I was humming it over here. I had no idea what to tell you.
I threw out a poll after the show. I was over at the gym and I'm like, ooh, let's see what we can get going here just to see what the responses would be. Because sometimes when I bring up stupid things and people say in unison it's stupid, then I walk away going, well, at least I put something out there. Might have been stupid. In this case, I threw that out there yesterday just to see.
It's not that stupid.
Just having a conversation because we are the team that gave the biggest guaranteed contract. I know Kirk Cousins had a couple years guaranteed. He was technically, what, one of the first ones. But obviously the Deshaun deal was completely different. What did Myles Garrett do 2 to 3 weeks ago? He kind of sounded like, hey, you guys got to explain to me why I should stay here. He didn't say it in those terms, but I think we all know what somebody as dominant as Myles Garrett, reigning defensive player of the year, and maybe could win another one, could be two-time defending defensive player of the year. It got me thinking, like, would he have leverage? I know the Browns haven't buckled to trade demands in the past, but in this case, listen to how they talk about Myles Garrett. This is why I thought he had the leverage to do something like this, because Andrew Berry, in his forever, I was embarrassed, press conference, he talked about, oh, Myles is going to be a Cleveland Brown forever, and as far as I'm concerned, he's going to go from Berea right down to Canton. Like, listen to the way they talk about him. Who else could demand something like that? And I put up a poll thinking it would get crushed. Browns fans would never want to hear guaranteed contract again, even for a fan favorite and beloved player.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Number's going to get retired.
Yes.
Owns part of the Cavaliers.
Yes.
Lives here. Makes his home here.
But I thought fans would just side against it. They didn't. Almost 3,000 votes. 74% said they would give Myles Garrett a guaranteed contract. And not just guaranteed, to be the highest paid non-quarterback in all of football.
I did not know how to answer you yesterday. That was my honest, visceral reaction. Because I get, Lima, you've done this before. And I tell you what, if it comes out that he wants a guaranteed contract, I don't know whether or not to hide you or whether or not to put you out there on the rooftop and have you do a show, not just for the people on the radio, but for everybody downtown. Because, hey, let's not act like you didn't talk it into existence with Justin Tucker. There was a media member who wanted you fired over it, but it was talked into existence on another football team in another city. If this got wind, what stops Miles from saying, you know what? Anthony's right. He knows you. Miles knows you. So what stops him from saying, Anthony's right?
What would he have to lose from it?
How much does he make per year right now? He's in the middle of a $125 million contract right now, right? So if he were to go back and say, hey, I've got 14 sacks again, I'm a Hall of Famer again.
Pass rush win rate again, champion.
I've proven that I'm the king and TJ Watt is nothing but a nice story again. If he were to go back and say, I want a guaranteed contract, who's stopping him?
It says $18 million next year, $19 million the next.
I want everything guaranteed. I want $100 million guaranteed. I don't know what the year is or whatever. Highest paid non-quarterback in this league. What do they do? Especially if they can void the other guy's contract. Holy wah. What are you going to do then? Because at first, I couldn't give you an answer because I was like, man, I never want to hear the term guaranteed again. It's such an ugly word because of what we've gone through over the last 3 years. I'm going, wait a minute. Everybody loves Myles Garrett. I love Myles Garrett. He's worth the money. He's been worth every penny they've paid him. It's not, they need a quarterback. He knows that. The American people know that. It's not his fault that they're a 3-win football team. Not his fault whatsoever. So if he wanted guaranteed money, does anybody have a problem with that in the listening audience? Would you give Myles Garrett a guaranteed contract? Well, would you not give? Would you really? When you have 74% saying they would give Myles Garrett,
well, not
I need to hear the anti. 216-474-0092. Would this room, is everybody in this room okay with giving Myles Garrett a guaranteed deal if he were to ask for one?
Well, it would force me to go back and talk to everybody in the building and say, can we really compete for a Super Bowl over the next few years? Because we could get a haul for Myles Garrett, even with a new contract. I think they could get a haul. Could make things a little tougher.
Well, you would trade him, but the team would have to sign. You would have the negotiation and be like, I hate to say it, it'd be like the Watson contract. Go right on ahead.
Are we ripping up this current deal that has 2 years left? He's 29 years old, just turned 29.
Well, he's going to want the money up front.
Yeah, let's make the numbers work there. You got to front load the contract,
so if
as
we
they
give
say.
Him 4 years, he'll be 33, 34. 4 or 5 years, whatever.
That's a little old. Hurry, four is a little.
That's probably his last real deal, right?
Yeah.
But Bosa's making $34 million a year.
Yeah.
Brian Burns, 28. TJ Watt, 28.
Joey Bosa is making how much a year?
Nick Bosa. Yeah, 34.
Nick Bosa's making $34 million.
It was a $170 million deal with $122 guaranteed.
Boy, we're going to Josh Cribb's land already. Pay the man.
And we're giving this guy $18 million and he's...
And that's why.
Been
that's
a
why
defensive player of the
I
year
wanted to pay Josh too. Yeah,
years,
pay this guy.
Isn't this part of why the timing
doing
of this
more than returning kickoff?
The 3-14, and he is drastically underpaid.
Josh would have too, but that's Mike Holmgren's problem.
We can all agree on that, right? He is totally underpaid.
Yeah,
and he is met every. And I always used to debate: is Nick?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Chubb, the best Brown of my lifetime. Well, now it's got to be Myles Garrett. I mean, now it's an easy one now, unfortunately, because
Nick was robbed.
Nick's injuries. Yeah. So now it's Myles Garrett. And now you'd have to say most beloved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because fans are rallying around him.
They love Nick.
But they're now saying pay him. They're not saying pay Nick Chubb right now. They're saying pay Myles Garrett whatever. And they're even taking it to the degree of pay him a guaranteed contract.
Think about this.
And, of course, if the cap gurus are telling you
that
you can get insurance
and get the cap guru
and that you can get relief if he gets injured, what is stopping Myles Garrett from asking this?
All right. I got to think about what are the bad parts of this? Because you're going to get a rookie quarterback. If he hits, he's still on a rookie deal. You're able to stagger the big contracts. I just can't believe Nick Bosa is making that much more money than Myles Garrett. That he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but Lord Almighty.
I think Chris Jones of the Chiefs making 31.7, Christian Wilkins 27.
Chris Jones worth a hell of a lot of money. Chris Jones is a really good football player. I'm not going to rip on Chris. I'm not even ripping on Nick Bosa, to be honest with you. Both deserve the money they get paid.
Those guys deserve their money.
Yeah, my God.
18 and 19 million
underpaid compared to those numbers that you just
made. Yes.
I need to hear somebody who's against it. Who are the people who voted no? Did they just see guarantee and decided to vote no? Did they hit the wrong button by accident?
No, a lot of the responses were never doing a guaranteed deal again after the Deshaun Watson fiasco.
That's not Miles Garrett's fault. Deshaun Watson is not Miles Garrett's fault.
And then some of the other people were like, I would just trade him then. If he demanded it, I would trade him, start the rebuild.
Am I going to get players as good as Miles Garrett?
It would be a reconfiguration.
You're going to get opportunities to get players as good as Miles Garrett.
Yeah, because you know you're never going to really get another Miles Garrett, but you've got to start a rebuild at
some
point.
When do I trade him then? Do I trade him this offseason?
I think they were saying they would do it now.
What could I get back in return for Miles? I'm taking you somewhere.
At least two firsts, right?
At least two firsts. A first this year and a first next year, right?
That's what you're starting with.
So I'm going to get two first-round picks in the first round this year.
Well, no. See, that's the other thing. I would
get another this year.
I would want one. I'd like to stagger him, right?
No. I mean, you're going to get somebody's first this year and their first next year.
Yes.
So you're going to have two first-round picks this year.
The Browns' first-round pick.
Two next year. Okay. And now I get to the point. Who's the one making the pick? Can you tell me he's going to find people as good as Miles Garrett? Can he find two guys as good? Can he find two guys that will get seven sacks in a year?
I mean, my assumption would be
no.
Well,
there's no assumption about it.
No, the hope wouldn't be that you're with those picks. I don't think you're
not just
thinking
defensive ends for crying out loud. I understand what you're saying, but come on, go with me on this.
I think you're thinking quarterback. You're getting as much ammo as you can to get the quarterback.
Great.
Because if you bring back Kirk Cousins,
let's use their first round picks.
Well,
for
think
Cam
about
Ward.
This way:
216-474-0092. Let me hear you on that one.
If you get Kirk Cousins and you do have Miles Garrett, then where are you drafting next year? What if you win eight games, like I said? You're drafting middle of the pack.
Now you're talking. But still, it's a hard sell for the fan base, Anthony, because they don't have confidence in the person making the picks.
Well, sure. But we've come back to the same question about that either way. Like, whether it's them making the pick or a completely unknown, you still want the draft picks. You don't not want the draft picks. You want the draft picks.
You do want the draft picks. You're right about that.
Well, once you pull the cord on Miles, then you're trading Denzel, right?
Oh, then we're in complete rebuild mode. Yeah. And then what are you here for? Because if Miles is still here and Denzel's still here, it does make sense in some form or fashion. You don't want to hear this, but it does make sense that they're still here, that the front office is still here. If you get rid of those guys, it's like, all right, well, now we're going to start counting down the days. Nick Wilson caught wind of this yesterday. He says Lima was right to call for a Miles guarantee.
If Miles looked at this and said, I put up with the Deshaun nonsense, I put up with the double standard, I'm going to go ahead and say Miles was one of the guys that had a problem with the double standard in the locker room the last couple of years. If Miles came out and said, I want a guaranteed contract, I want to be rewarded the way you rewarded a guy who never made an impact here, how should the Browns respond?
So this was what the owners across the league feared when the Browns gave Deshaun Watson that contract. They feared that the ripple effect would be then, what happens when Lamar goes for his contract? Is it then going to also be 100% guaranteed? And they worked really hard to get away from that. If Miles says this would be unprecedented. I don't know that the Browns would bend to the knee.
I wouldn't put it past Miles.
It would just be such a bold, interesting play.
I think Lima's really smart to call this out. And here's the thing. I don't bend at the knee for Miles because you have to look at age. You have to look at health. You have to look at the cap shenanigans that would take place.
I don't care about the word shenanigans. In the words of Arne Anderson, Miles Garrett is the one who holds the cards. He's got all the power here. They trust him more than they trust anybody who wears a suit on Sundays. They trust him more than anybody who wears a headset
now,
on Sundays.
I'm noticing in some of the responses that we are getting, people are pointing out that you can't do it for a non-quarterback because even the best pass rushers, even the best non-quarterbacks, best left tackles, we had Joe Thomas, none of that gets you guaranteed wins the way a quarterback does.
Okay, but I'm not guaranteed. But that's none of us are saying that Deshaun Watson's still going to be here. Now, I don't know what's left on his contract. None of us are pointing that out. If you go and you get a rookie quarterback, either this year or next year, he's going to be on a rookie deal. So you're going to have it staggered. He's not going to make anywhere near the money of, say, $35 million guaranteed for Miles Garrett of each of the next 3 years. He's not going to do that. So you would want to redo the deal and have it up front, and then later on, Miles makes $12 million in a season. Because, by year three, your hope and pray is that quarterback is worth paying an obscene amount of money and then everything's fine. Well, I don't know the downside to this. I don't want to make it out that Miles is only about his money, which somehow Nick took it that way. At least that's from the snippet of audio we had. I don't think it's all about just money for Miles. I think a lot of it's about history. I think a lot of it is about, yeah, I don't blame him for wanting security, but my guy, I mean, well, let me play the Nick clip here. This is Nick saying he's a little bit disappointed in Miles, apparently.
I'm a little disappointed in Miles. I could understand if he felt like his career was being wasted with a bunch of bad teams. I totally got that. Because I watched it with Joe, I'm so empathetic when these guys put their heart and their soul and their body on the line for a team that doesn't win. But when it started to feel like this is more about money for Miles than it is about winning,
yeah,
it really started to hit me in a way that I didn't like. Mostly because asking for that after this season, making it publicized, felt like a kind of dirty pool trick.
I don't think it was a trick. I think it's worthwhile. I only saw Miles Garrett. I've seen one game where I thought Miles Garrett, through all the trials and tribulations we've been through, I saw the one game against the Fish a couple of years ago down in Miami where I'm like, man, he's given up. This is not good. He's done with this. I was scared.
And you only notice because there's such a difference between the way he dominates games and that game. Some guys you wouldn't even notice. Did TJ Watt give up on the Steelers? No, he was trying. It just wasn't good enough.
And for all I know, maybe he was playing with an injury. I'm not sure. It just looked like it was a day that he was in his emotions a little bit because of the way things were going. And I was in my emotions a little bit too. But everything else, Miles has been, I understand what happened in 2019. I get it. But in everywhere else, he has been the type of player you want on and off the field. And everywhere else, he's been the face of charity. I don't think that this is just all about money. If you gave him the guaranteed contract, what is he going to do? Walk around out there like he's Jamie Collins? No, not going to do that. There is a personal pride to it. And we brought up Joe. I don't think he wants to be like Joe. I do think he wants to win. But damn, when you're giving me that Nick Bosa, who's a good player, not Miles, is making $34 million, if I'm Miles Garrett, you can't help it. You're better. This is a competitive business. You're better than these other players. Chris Jones is really damn good. I ain't going to say nothing about Chris Jones, but you're better than Nick Bosa. Coming up at 8:20, Mary Kay Cabot going to join us on the show. You know, I'm saying my guess now. I think it's Jackson Dart later on and Kirk Cousins in free agency, and they're trading down from number two after what I just heard from Jason Lloyd. Maybe with Tommy Rees, they're honing in on somebody from Alabama. Your Cleveland Cavaliers take on an Oklahoma City team without their bigs, and no one's going to give us any respect for winning tonight. Great.
I will. I'll give us
Lime
respect.
Lime is mad. Lime is
I
mad.
Am mad. I'm only mad not because like I want to see the Cavs go on a losing streak or anything to cut them down to size and face some adversity. No, I want them to go because we're going to be fully healthy. I think this is the first time we've had our entire rotation healthy for a game.
Ty Jerome back. I know he was a sickie.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be back.
Right.
And so what I wanted was this mano a mano, this big matchup, especially in their house where they're trying to get revenge, because what is anybody going to say after that? What can anybody else say?
Nothing.
I mean, Cavs say nothing. Cavs are getting the respect. I want even more. Let's go. Let's do it. But
meanwhile, Jason Tatum said they're going through some bleep right now over in Boston.
Yes,
quote. That's a quote.
Not a problem
the real
in Cleveland.
Word. And joining us right now in the Smart Choice Windows and More studios, the Chief Marketing Officer of your Cleveland Cavaliers, Chris Kaiser. Hello, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love the energy coming in.
We're a very energetic group.
6.5 games ahead of the once proud Boston Celtics. How embarrassing. Embarrassing for Beantown.
Do you get cocky at this time?
No, of course not. No.
You stay humble?
Stay humble, stay hungry, right?
You're a marketing officer. How are you supposed to stay humble? You're supposed to whoop it up here.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I think in terms of where we sit right now, 34-5, best record in the NBA. I think we've been waiting for this thing to kind of end in terms of this, like, you know, I think it's, you know, the chemistry in the team, the momentum, the whole season, it just won't stop.
It's fantastic. It's been so much fun.
I mean, yesterday, a rare time where the fam was out having a dinner and we looked up on the TV and it's Wilbon and Kornheiser leading their NBA discussion with the Cavs. And they're talking about whether teams are built differently now because everybody's trying to process how this happened. Teams that just come back with the exact same core, basically, and add Ty Jerome, who missed last year, and then just change the coach. It's not supposed to go this well. And so it feels like that last Oklahoma City game was the perfect time for everybody to start taking notice. And I don't know if how you guys would be able to evaluate that or do the measurements, but it does seem like something's changed the way people are talking about your team.
Yeah, I think in terms of in terms of earned media, you know, I think so, from a social media standpoint, engagement, that was a huge turning point. I think in terms of the way we won that game too, I think it was a team effort. You know, Evan Mobley, Darius Garland being able to have the national stage. And I think you just touched on it. Like, let's not lose, you know, I don't want to lose focus on the fact that Kobe Altman, Mike Gansey, Brandon Weems, what that group did to have a vision, stick to it, and build the team the way they did in a unique way is unbelievable. And that's what set up the success.
So what do we have to do to, we know here local TV ratings have been great. And the fans, they look like they are going nuts. Looks like a college atmosphere in a lot of these games. That's exactly what you want. You don't see a lot of that around the NBA. But the All-Star voting. The All-Star voting, you know, the Cavs, feels like that's where the disrespect is right now. Because Darius Garland has been an All-Star. Evan Mobley has been an All-Star. These guys are doing it time and time again.
Yeah, and I think we saw a little bit of that momentum you talked about last week being kind of a turning point. We have three guys in the top 10 now. Donovan was in the top two for guards out of the gates, but now Evan's moved up to sixth or seventh in terms of the results that came out last year or last week. Darius is now, he wasn't in the top 10 in that first voting. Now he's in the top 10, and we're trying to get Jay up in there and trying to get all four out to San Francisco here in a couple weeks.
So how do they vote again? How did this all go now?
So Cavs.com/vote is the best place to go because you can get a preloaded ballot off of there. It takes like 30 seconds. Every fan can vote once a day. And I think the big dates I want to touch on tomorrow, the 17th and the 20th, Martin Luther King Day, are both 3-for-1 days. So every fan's vote counts for 3. Those are huge impact days in terms of you know, how we can get these guys in the All-Star game.
Perfect. Start time on Martin Luther King Day as well, right? We're talking about a time where the family can come down. And what's the situation with sellouts and what the demand for tickets are right now? Because it seems like everybody I know is asking me, are you going to the game? We're going to the game. And it's starting to feel like old times because it's the best value right now going. You go to a Cavs game, you're going to see a win.
Yeah, and we're on 122-game sellout streak right now. You know, there's still tickets available for a lot of the games upcoming. You know, we end up getting to a sellout, but again, if you go to Cavs.com/tickets, you can still get single game tickets for all of our remaining games.
122, you said?
122.
I'll be. 455 is the record. Can you get to the record?
I think so. I mean, I think we're planning this team being a championship team for 3-4 years here into the future, and yeah, that's the way we're going to look at everything we're planning for in the organization right now.
Well, for those that want to start to think about playoff tickets, because obviously we know this team's not only going to the playoffs, home court advantage potentially throughout. Until they're done playing, they could have home court advantage. You know, is that something you're starting to think about, or is that already something that fans currently listening right now, if they want to get in on that playoff fervor when the weather starts to turn, they can do it right now?
I love this. You're leading me right into a ticket promo here, but I think yes. Cavs.com/enroll. So you can go on, you can buy season ticket memberships, our Cavs United memberships here moving forward for next season. And that gets you priority access to playoff tickets here at the end of the year. And it is going to be, you know, those things are going to sell out, you know, probably within, you know, the first couple hours once those go on sale spring. So it's the best way to get in.
So upcoming promotions, again, MLK Day on Monday. I know a guy, he has, seriously, 3 o'clock start time, loves to start, 3 o'clock, right?
3:30.
3:30, okay. Yep. Sorry, because you're looking at me and I go, oh gosh, I got something wrong here. 3:30 start time, tip-off time. They love it because the family comes in, they go to the game, they go to dinner. It's a fabulous time. Everybody gets to go home at a decent time. You're not like out till 11 o'clock on like a Monday, right?
Yep.
A lot of promotions going on then. A lot of promotions coming up throughout the month and then going into February, correct?
Yeah, so we got a ton of promotions coming up next month. And we have a ton of, we actually have 4 of those Sunday games at 3:30. So last year we had the Paris trip. We had the Women's Final Four in town, which were both great things. But it ended up leading to no Saturday games after December.
Ooh.
And our Sunday games were all like 6 or 7 o'clock just based on them being back-to-backs. So you know, I think it was hard for me to bring my kids out to the games, and I get free tickets for every game. So I think it was, a lot of great opportunities to try to build some new fans and bring them out and see a winning team.
Well, Chris, again, one more time, the vote, the tickets, give it to us here.
So Cavs.com/vote, 3-for-1 days tomorrow and on Monday. And then if you want to get tickets for any of our upcoming games, Cavs.com/tickets.
Outstanding.
Let him know.
Chris, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Kaiser, the Chief Marketing Officer of your Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, we got more football at 8:20, but I don't want to talk about that yet. We got George Niang coming up at 9:20. Cavs forward / enforcer. He doesn't know he's the enforcer yet. We're going to let him know coming up at 9:20.